must confess our sins. Blessed Holy Spirit,
our Maker and our Mother, we simple creatures confess to you that we have often resisted your law and grieved you by our sins. Above all, that we have not cherished your holy word as many times as we ought. Do not leave us, O Lord, life giver, as you have had mercy from the beginning. Have mercy on us now, and for the sake of Jesus Christ, the Savior you gave us, forgive us our sins, and fill us with yourself, that our lives and words and deeds may be holy by your power and to your praise. Amen.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Thank you.
When the day of Pentecost arrived, the disciples were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words, for these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters. Said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but we cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it in you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. This is our time. As we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost today, we also gather for the confirmation of our sixth youth, Lewis, Matthew, Laura, Mary, Ellie, and Landon. What is confirmation? Why does it matter? One pastor described the importance of confirmation instruction like this, the teaching of confirmation. He said, it should make the young people spiritually independent so that they would stand on the foundation that remains immovable when the earth and heavens shake. It should make the young people spiritually independent so that they stand on the foundation that remains immovable when the earth and heavens shake. He believed that religious instruction made the difference between children who consciously express their Christian faith and those who have only a cultural attachment to it. I would say that we share that same aim, for the six of you to be spiritually independent. That means having a Christian faith that belongs to you and is yours for the rest of your life. It's not enough that your parents and grandparents believe, though I'm glad that they do. It's not enough that you believed once when you were a child or when you were 14 or 15 or 16. We want each of you to believe for yourself from now until the day you die, to own the Christian faith as yours, and for your whole life to be shaped by it. So hold and keep this Christian faith, the faith that's been given to you from the Holy Scriptures and taught to you through the small catechism. Stand on the immovable rock, the foundation that is Jesus Christ, your Lord. He can never be shaken. Though the world changes, and I can promise you, for each of you, that your world will change too, he remains the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. What you have in your Lord Jesus Christ is solid and certain. It's trustworthy. It's true. Even when the earth and heavens shake, and they will, your God and his word remain unshaken. But back to that statement about confirmation instruction, that it should make the young people spiritually independent so that they would stand on the foundation that remains immovable when the earth and heaven shake. I think it's helpful to know who said those words. They come from a pastor you've never heard of by the name of Johann Wohl. Pastor Wohl served as a Lutheran pastor in Ukraine in the 1920s. If you know anything about the 1920s, you might remember that this was during the early Soviet Union. And the Soviet government had made a law forbidding religious instruction for groups of children under the age of 18. Over 18 is fine, individually is okay, but groups of children under the age of 18, no good. One year, 2 days before Pastor Bull was to confirm a new group of students, he was called into the Communist Party headquarters for a 5-hour cross-examination. They informed him that he was only allowed to teach younger children and no more than 3 at a time. That was a challenge for a pastor who usually confirmed 200 each year. The communist government knew the truth. Teaching the Christian faith makes Christians. And by forbidding the teaching of the Christian faith, or making it really, really difficult, their hope was to raise a generation of atheists. The stakes were high. The stakes are still high. When the earth and heavens shake, Pastor Bohm himself ended up either exiled or in a gulag for his Christian faith. He'll be asked today, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? By the grace of God, yes, by the grace of God. So confirmation isn't only a religious ceremony or a rite of passage, it's far more. It's the inculcation of the Christian faith. For you six, it's the culmination of a year dedicated to the study of God's Word and the teachings of the Christian faith. Why do we do this? Before ascending into heaven, Jesus commissioned the church to do the work of making disciples of all nations. And he told the church how to do this. By baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The point of confirmation is the teaching. It's one way that the church hands on the faith from generation to generation. But don't misunderstand. Confirmation is not graduation. You're not done. I said it already to you this morning, I'll say it again. This isn't like some other classes where you study the book, you take the test, you put the book away, and you never think about it again. This is life. Always keep learning and studying the faith. And let me give you a couple of hints. First one is, turn off the TV. Just turn it off. Or better yet, take it out to the town dump and leave it there. Smash it. Second piece of advice, stop scrolling your phone. And if you don't have a phone yet, don't worry, the time will come and you will be tempted just to scroll and scroll and scroll. Or just get a dumb phone. Third, wear out your Bible and your small tablets. I mean, wear them out. Let those bindings break. Let the pages be creased. If they fall apart, I promise you I will buy you another. And another after that. Take it with you. I remember a story about, I believe this was about an older member of the congregation. Dee, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But my recollection is that you told me that your father would have a copy of the small catechism that he would keep with him. He'd have one in his pocket, although I'm sure it wore out many times. And he'd pull it out and he'd look at it. He'd study it. He'd read it. He'd pray it during the day. Every day, die to sin and rise to walk in newness of life through Jesus by your baptism. Come, confessing your sin, and hear that sweet, sweet absolution. All forgiven for Jesus' sake. Keep meeting together at the divine service and receive the body and blood of your Lord Jesus Christ, not once a year, not twice a year, but week after week after week. Because God knows you need it. This is where the breath of the Spirit blows. This is how the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Helper sent by Jesus from the Father, breathes life and strength and hope into dry and dusty bones. The Spirit sent the prophet Ezekiel in the middle of a valley filled with dry bones and asked him, can these bones live? What kind of question is that? Really? Can dry bones live? Can they love? Can they trust? Can they hope? Can they bear joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Dry bones? Oh Lord God, you know. And that's right. He does know. That's what matters. It's true that dry bones by themselves can't do jack squat. And some of you sitting here today may feel like a pile of dead bones. You may see death close at hand. Your hope may be going, gone. But the question isn't how hopeless you are, or how sick you are, or how dead you are. The real question is, can the dead be raised? Can they stand on their feet today, tomorrow, on the last day? Can those who died of dementia or perished in prison camps live? Because if the answer to any of those questions is yes, and it doesn't matter how dry the bones are, it doesn't matter how long they've been like that, it doesn't matter if sickness plagues us, or if the world mocks us, or if we suffer persecution. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying that those things aren't forever. But this is. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So Ezekiel prophesied. The breath came like a mighty rushing wind. They lived. They stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Behold, a host, dead, but made alive by the Spirit. Thus says the Lord God, you shall know that I am the Lord. You shall know it when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my Spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. You can count on that promise. You can live and die with that promise. I will put my Spirit within you. His breath will enter us. It came like a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were all together in one place, like we are this morning. And that's when the promise of the Father came. Divided tongues of fire, as a fire, appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened then? Then they opened their mouths. They told about the mighty works of God in languages that people could understand. They spoke about Jesus. They declared his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. They made known the shedding of his blood on the cross as atonement, covering for all sin. This is what the prophet Joel had promised. The Spirit would be poured out, and it would come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confirmants, you've been taught to call upon the name of the Lord. So don't ever be afraid to call upon him. Don't be afraid to ask him for help and guidance. Don't be afraid to pray for his name to be kept holy, his kingdom to come, and his will to be done in your life. Don't be afraid to ask for your daily bread, for forgiveness of your sins, for help in forgiving others, for aid in temptation, and for deliverance from evil. You've been taught to confess Jesus as Savior. And in a few minutes, you'll make that confession again, before God and before this congregation. And you'll make that confession knowing that Jesus has promised to confess you before his Father, who is in heaven. The Holy Spirit comes. He breathes on you through God's Word. It may not be as dramatic as a tongue of fire or a mighty rushing wind, but he does it. He descends on you through holy baptism. He enters you through holy communion. He is poured out on you again and again and again. May he fill our bodies, making them his temple. May he take our tongues, take over our tongues, not that we would speak in other languages, but rather that our words would be holy, building others up, so that the name of Jesus would be on our lips in our own language. May he inspire our minds, that we would think only what is good, true, and beautiful. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he comes to you. He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Today we pray that Jesus would do, continue to do as he has promised, that he would send the Spirit from his Father, the Spirit to convict us of sin, to bestow his righteousness on us through faith, and to judge the rulers of this world. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but he knows. The Spirit, through Holy Scripture, will be your guide. He will teach you what is true. He will comfort you. He will help you. He will advocate for you as you go through life. When the earth and heavens shake, he will help you stand firm, for his word will not pass away. You can count on this. This is the rock on which you can stand, that Jesus died, Jesus is risen, Jesus ascended on high, and Jesus will come again. The Spirit testifies to us of these things. And so you have received, and you receive again today, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire, our God, a holy, purifying fire, a fire of love and of life, unshakable and unshaken. The God who wars and who protects, the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You have been baptized and canonized in the Christian faith, according to our Lord's bidding. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism, and say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I
do. Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I
do. Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I
do. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Yes, I believe in God. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, descended into the hell, the third day he rose again from the dead, who was swallowed up in heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from thence to overcome the judgments of the living and dead.
Do you believe the Holy Spirit? You hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and you say, I do. You confess the doctrine of the evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from the scriptures, and you have learned to know it with a small catechism, be faithful and true, and say, I do. You intend to hear the word of God, and receive the word supper faithfully, and say, I do by the grace of God. Do you intend to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed, remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death, then say, I do by the grace of God. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all even death rather than fall away from it, then say, I do by the grace of God. We rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Louis Martin. Though the world does not love you, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthened you with his grace, to life everlasting. Louis, the Good Shepherd knows you, and you are a sheep of his pasture, as it says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Matthew will declare though the world will not love you, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthened you with his grace, the life everlasting. Amen. Now, as you journey through this life toward the promised land for final rest, do so with the words of Joshua always before you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Nor on the whole floor. Though the world will not love you, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace, the life everlasting. Amen. Nora, for you the words of King David, the psalmist, who trusted in the promised Messiah, at once both his son and his Lord. my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27. Mary Catherine, know the world will not love you. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace, the life everlasting. Mary, the Holy Spirit grant you the same confidence and hope expressed by St. Paul, who wrote, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 37 to 39. Helen, Elizabeth, though the world will not love me, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace, and life everlasting. Amen. Now we have on your lips and in your heart praise and thanks for God who cares for you, as it says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Landon Joel, though the world will not love you, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace, the life everlasting. Amen. And the promise of your Lord Jesus Christ, who has ascended to the right hand of the Father, and who will come again in glory. Surely, I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, in the waters of holy baptism, you have united your children in the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleansing them by his blood. Renew in them the gift of your Holy Spirit, that they may live in daily contrition and repentance with the faith that ever clings to their Savior. Deliver them from the power of Satan, and preserve them from false and dangerous doctrines, that they may remain faithful in hearing Christ's word and receiving his body and blood. By the Lord's Supper, strengthen them to believe that no one can make satisfaction for sin but Christ alone. Enable them to find joy and comfort only in him, learning from this sacrament to love you and their neighbor, and to bear the cross with patience and joy, until the day of the resurrection of their bodies to life immortal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For gladness in the Holy Spirit, who fills the world with the remembrance of everything Christ Jesus has spoken, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church, that God would guide her into all truth by the Holy Spirit through his word, and so guard us from error and false doctrine and other great shame and vice, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Grace, as she attends her student leadership retreat, for Pastor Jason and Marta and their family, in his call as seminary professor, her pregnancy, and their coming transition to St. Louis. For all expectant mothers, and for all of us in our various callings and duties, that God would put his Spirit within us to believe, live, and serve according to his promises and commands, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For everyone God has set in place to govern our land, that the ruler of this world would not govern them and their decisions to our harm, but that we might enjoy the benefits of good government, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the health and salvation of all, especially Beth, Nancy, and Pearl, and for those affected by the floods in Brazil, including our brothers and sisters in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Brazil, that the Spirit would renew the face of the earth, look with favor on his creatures, and fill the hearts of the faithful, kindling in them the fire of his love. Let us pray the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune, that the Holy Spirit would convict us of our sin and convince us also that Christ's righteousness is ours, that in such repentance and faith we would receive the things of Christ given in his supper, and that he would unite us in faith by the Spirit of truth. Let us pray for the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who grieve, especially Pat and Marilyn, and the family and friends of Rick and Alice, that since Christ has gone away to the cross and has risen victorious over death, so we may have confidence that those who go away from us in this life will also rise again. Let us pray for the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, through your Son, you promised your Holy Spirit so as to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Enlighten our hearts that we would confess our sins, obtain everlasting righteousness through faith in Christ, and through every trial and temptation, abide in the consolation that Christ is Lord over the devil, death, and all things. We ask that you would graciously deliver us from all affliction and make us partakers of eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed be the Lord, the Holy Ghost.
For blessed is the shadow of his wings.
In the beginning,
God created
the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty.
And the Spirit of God hovered on the face of the deep.
You sent forth your Spirit, and they were created.
Lift up your heart.
thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
see you. What precious to me are your thoughts, O God, which is all that, so O Lord, I have stood you have searched me from the womb. You know when I sit down, when I sit up. You discern my thoughts and thoughts. You are above my death, my lying down. You are a king, a call, a virgin. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before, and it lay with your hand upon me. Such sorrow is wonderful for me, and it is high, I cannot name you. Where should I go from your spirit, or where should I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in snow, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost places of the sea, even there your hand shall be, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me is the dark, even the darkness is not darkness to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light to you. For you pour my inner heart, and give you heaven, and my I praise you for my eternal home today. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows you very well. I pray for God's goodness for me while I was being made to see the infinitely remote and the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my uniform substance in your book were written. Every one of them, the days that have been formed for me, when it is yet as one of them, for being his father and his son, and his only God, as he was in the beginning, now, and ever shall be, the world without end. Amen. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how bad is the sum of them.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And with
of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.